from PRX.
Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for a podcast. I just cleaned a car, my car, actually, not any. Do you believe me? I don't think my car has a name. I drove through someplace with a car with no name. My car keeps me out of the rain. Sorry, I don't normally rhyme, but it's the beginning of the podcast. Welcome to Sleep With Me, by the way. The podcast that puts you to sleep is our tagline. Been making this show for around 10 years now, and I'm so happy if you're listening for the first time or you're listening for the 1,200th time. I mean, I'm sure there's people who have listened tens of thousands of times, because if you see, like, the Spotify stats at the end of the year, you could see how many people, like, listen a lot, eight, ten episodes a night. But it's really my honor to get to make this show, and I get to do it because of the support of listeners who the podcast works for. Now, this podcast is very different, so if you're new here, I just want to give you a heads up. This show is very different. Strange. It's not traditionally soothing. It's barely never going anywhere. And it does take a couple tries to get used to. That's what, like, about a million people have said to me over the past 10 years. It took me two or three tries. That's, like, the most medium temperature version. It took two or three tries for me to get used to the show. First, I didn't know what I was listening to, or I was waiting for it to get sleepy and stuff. So give it a few tries, see how it goes. And make the show for you, if the show's going to work for you. And there is a lot of people who works for it. It doesn't work for everybody. But I so hope it works for you. Because the podcast is designed to keep you company and cut through some of that loneliness in the deep, dark night, and to take your mind off whatever's keeping you awake so you could fall asleep. The show doesn't exactly put you to sleep. It's your friend in the deep, dark night, because you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve the rest you need. So I am so glad you're here. I am so proud I get to make this podcast. And what we got coming up, there's sponsor stuff. That's how the show gets to be free. You don't got to pay for it unless you really want to. Then there's a long meandering intro, which is separate from the support. I just got somebody that really pushed, gave me the old strong impression thing. The intro doesn't have any sponsor stuff in it. It is a show within a show. You really don't want to miss out on it. It's meant to ease you into bedtime. It's a bit silly. It's a bit goofy. Maybe I'll talk about washing my car. And you say, okay, that's something I could fall asleep to probably. And like probably some personal admissions, but mostly it just eases you into bedtime. Then there's support. Then there's our bedtime story. Tonight I'll be watching a silent movie and rambling on and on about him. Or maybe more than one movie. Depends on how long. I got a couple of different ideas I'm percolating on, and probably record it tomorrow. But when you hear this, it'll be all together for your convenience. You don't have to wait till tomorrow for me to keep going on and on and on. So that's it. I'm so glad you're here. And I really hope I can help you fall asleep. And these sponsors are how we're able to do it for free twice a week. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like, you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like, I do need, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place, more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. SleepWithMePodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for SleepWithMePodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, one part of the podcast where I pop my peas. If you please, I thank the listeners who supported the sponsors. There's so many people that benefit from this ad-supported show, and they benefit because of people like Zach and Belinda. Zach got Zach's mom, Belinda, to take the quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep, and Belinda got Helix Twilight. So huge. That's a way you say, okay, let me tell my parents. Maybe my parents need a new bed, or maybe someone in my life needs a new bed. That's a new thing I hadn't heard of before. So thank you, Zach. And I don't know if Zach's a kid or an adult, but this is cool. I really appreciate it. A huge way to support the show. Even if people just take the quiz and check it out, then they say, well, in the future, maybe I'll get a new mattress now that I know what fits my sleep needs. So thank you so much, Zach. Thank you, Belinda. If you support a sponsor, you want to hear your name, like Zach and Belinda's name, you sign up for a free trial, you support a sponsor, or you do something else, you spread the word somewhere, let me know about it. Use the form at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsor so I can say thanks, because this show benefits so many people. You and your effort, Zach and Belinda, help a bunch of other people too. It's cool. And now that I've heard from all those people, I'm re-energized. So thank you, Zach. Thank you, Belinda. Second part of Sleepy Support Zone, you're getting the support you need right now. There's links to resources, including international resources you can use to connect with right now. It's about being a part of positive change through our actions, taking action, learning more. There's links to resources where you could do that. And not just say Black Lives Matter, not just say Stop AAPI Hate, not just say Support Ukraine, but do something. One of the things we're doing, this is a silent film episode, and at the time of this recording, there's a writer's strike, there's an actor's strike, and we're doing some public domain content to show solidarity in just a tiny, tiny way. But if you want to show solidarity, you want to take action to support some of these unions that are supporting, fair earnings for all the people that create stuff we love, there's going to be links to resources where you could learn more and take action. Really cool resources. So check those out. And I think that's it. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on the show. Who are they?
This posty poster song sounds like a near fall. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W. The Legend. Also edits episodes. Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer. Runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at Jonathan Mann. I'll write a song for you. Any reason at all. You can tell me the story and I'll make it personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna like banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. By the way, Mystery Bard, a lot of people love listening to Sleep With Me with sleep phones, especially if they share a bed with somebody. And we have Sleep With Me branded sleep phones. The only place you get them, sleepwithmepodcast.com/sleep phones. And use Sleep With Me at checkout to save $5 off your order. What do you say we slow it down and get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble, getting to sleep, trouble, staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever is keeping you awake. It could be thoughts on your mind that you're thinking about the past, present, the future. So thoughts, thinking thoughts, the old thinking thoughts, thinking, thoughting. So thoughts, things on your mind or, around Things your mind is telling you are important, but that may or may not be important at bedtime. So thoughts, it could be feelings, anything like emotionally related to those thoughts, any feelings you're having or feelings that are there, physical sensations, it could be changes in time, temperature, routine, work schedule, school schedule. You could be getting over something, going through something, or have something coming up. And the only reason I run through that stuff isn't so much to remind you of what's keeping you awake, but to remind you that you're not alone. There's a lot of people listening right now, and a lot of us can probably relate to how you feel and say, hey, that's pretty tough. And even if I can't relate to it, even if I haven't been through it and it feels different than when I felt, there's someone listening right now who probably can, and who can relate to how difficult it is or what it feels like. I mean, there's times I can't sleep, you know, because of good stuff, too. I just don't really remember those or what is that called? Ruminate on those. Ruminations on positive things. Never been. I don't know if that's been written. Contrary to popular belief, I ruminate on positive things very, very rarely. But, I may have. But what was my point? Whatever's keeping you awake. This show is here to be here, to be there. I'm here to be your friend in the deep, dark night and keep you company and take your mind off stuff so you could fall asleep. And because you deserve a good night's sleep. I know how it feels, tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. And I believe you deserve a bedtime you could look forward to. Or a bedtime you feel neutral about, not one you have to dread, as has been the case for me at different times in my life. I believe you deserve the sleep you need so your life is more manageable, so that you could be out there living your life and flourishing eventually when you get the sleep you need. And that means our world's going to be a better place to be in. So it is important. And what I do is I send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm using lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, and superfluous tangents, which means I'll go off topic, I'll get mixed up, and then I'll forget what I was talking about, then I'll repeat myself, and then I'll use filler words. So that's kind of the structure of the show. Creaky, dulcet tones means my voice is not traditionally soothing. My voice is not traditionally soothing. It's more just to keep you company and take your mind off of stuff. The other things to know about the show, this is a podcast that doesn't really put you to sleep. It more keeps you company while you fall asleep. I'm here to be your boar friend, your boar bay, your boar sib, your boar bud, your boar burr, your boar bee, your neighbor, your boar bud, your boar bestie. I'm here to be your friend in the deep, dark night and just keep you company while you fall asleep. There's no pressure to fall asleep. The episodes are over an hour, so you don't even have to think about it. You see, I got plenty of time. Boar Bay is going to be here to keep me company. And I don't even know what a Boar Bay is, but sounds good. I mean, I don't know. Sounds like something maybe more Boar Bay. It could be more into that. And I'd say no problem. Yeah, because there's people who are listening who can't sleep, and there's people who are listening who need a break during the day. So this show is here to keep you company and not really to be listened to, just kind of barely listen. I mean, you could listen, and there are people that listen to the show the whole thing through. And that's great, too, because, I mean, it helps keep me going. And it lets me know I'm here to the very end, whether you're awake or asleep, whether you're listening or not. But for most people, after their second or third listen, they kind of just barely active passive listening. Like, just like you're humoring me. Uh-huh. Okay, great. Go ahead and tell us about washing your car after you get through this part. So that's kind of that. Let me tell you about the structure of the show, too. Oh, and the fact that most people don't like this podcast when they first listen. And I'd say most people never like this podcast. It's a very specific show. For the people it's going to work for. But for the people it does work for, it does take a couple tries till you realize, oh, now I get it. Now I get it. This show is not meant to be. It's not gotten. I can't get it. Now I realize I was looking for this the whole time. I had no idea. Kind of like when you're looking for one thing And then you find something else really cool and you forget about the thing you were looking for. I mean, I do that in physical stuff, like with apps, websites. I say, I totally forgot what I was even looking for, but this is cool. I didn't even really know I needed one of those things that makes a rainbow prism. Wasn't looking for one, but I found one. I found a Hello Kitty-like prism, finial or whatever, that goes on the top of a lamp when I was cleaning stuff for my parents. So I was cleaning out their basement, my dad's tool shed. And I'm not kidding. I left it there. My temptation was to put it in my pocket and take it with me. So I guess I won't talk about it. So it was like a Hello Kitty prism. It looked like it was made probably from Lucite or glass. And it was meant to go on the top of a lamp. I don't know if it made a prism, though, because I was so distracted by talking to it and playing with it. Because it had a gold, like a brass stem, you know, that you would screw into the top of a lamp, like above the lampshade. Has there ever been a book called Above the Lampshade? Or a TV show, you say, Above the Lampshade. It's where it could be a line, it sounds like a line in a Fish song. That's where the moths are at, above the lampshade. You say, what's the best song in Fish's new debut, 2028? Above the Lampshade, man. That's where the moths are at. They could be another one of their cover. They could have full permission to do a fake cover band thing from Gingerbread Press books. That's where the moths are at. We did have a weird synchronicity because Fish. Fish is a band. They're not a Hello Kitty crystal finial prism, but. There was a time where, like right around the same time, unrelated, we're making two things where we're talking about space and sound and smell and what does space smell like. I didn't think it until that point. I said, wow, there's a lot of people wondering what space smells like. So I found that Hello Kitty crystal. So that's the kind of the thing with the show. You say, oh, I didn't know I was looking for this, but it's not many people would say Sleep With Me is cool, but they'd say it's like as cool as the other side of the pillow in bedtime parlance. So there's that. What was my point there though? Oh, just kind of barely listen. It takes some getting used to. Most people don't like the show. In fact, I set up a website, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou, for people that don't like me at all, strongly or mildly. I don't hear from the people that mildly don't like me. They probably check out another sleep podcast. They go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou. They check out another sleep podcast or sleepy thing on there, and they move on. But then there's people, even though the whole idea of sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou was just to help people that strongly dislike me move on. Like you say, hey, I found something that puts me to sleep, man. Now I'm not even frowny facing you, Scoots. But there's still a strong contingent of frowny face. They say, well, I want to show you my frowny face. Not actually, but in so many words. In fact, they try to word it so strongly that normally I get a frowny face, but that's okay. I've been doing this a while. I mean, so long that I set up a website to say most people don't like me. That's normal. I mean, right? I mean, that's just especially making something. But the great thing is, and this is a really nice thing, if you give the show two or three tries and it is for you, it is for you. I mean, it doesn't work for everybody forever. But there are people, a large number of people, and those people a lot of those people I know, who've been listening to the show almost the entire time. And there's people who have been supporting the show for as long as you could support it and interacting with me. So I know that, it's just like other stuff you find. You say, okay, I didn't know. I mean, that'd be a very specific thing, but what if you had, like, what if you loved moths and then you found out this Hello Kitty, whatever that, I forgot the word for makes a rainbow thing, spectrum analyzer, it's not that, prism, lamp finial, I think that's what it's called. I said, what is this, final, what word is this, And I said to myself, does this thing go on the top of a lamp? I'm pretty sure this is, I said, is that a crystallized Hello Kitty? And I said, is that a prism? They're just walking you through it. And then I said, what is the final aisle? That's what that's really what happened. I'm walking you through it. This is pure sleep. Final aisle. That's one of those things that goes on top of a lamp. That's why that big brass thing's coming out of the bottom of Hello Kitty. And now I said, Hello Kitty, we had to process that. And then I said, let me get this thing out. Let me start playing with it. And then I said, let me play with it. And then I forgot because I was playing with it in front of a window, but the sun wasn't coming in through the window. Then I put it on a lamp. Then I took it off the lamp. Then I put it on a lamp, turned it on. Then I took it off the lamp. Because they said, one, I mean, when you discover stuff, and this is just like it is for Sleep With Me super fans, I said, who bought this and then put it in the, I mean, it's probably by accident. It was in like one of those boxes full of, my parents don't have any IKEA furniture, but the same kind of box with bags of like washers and nuts and like all sorts of loose hardware, you know, stuff to put up pictures, but none of it organized. It must feel like when someone strikes gold. That's how I felt. But also I was dismayed. I said, this poor thing, and I also was like, when was this purchased and who purchased it? I got to do some of my own family anthropology after this. I think I took a picture of it, so I think I can retrace, try to find out. Yeah, I can't believe I didn't try to. So then I took it off and I put it in front of a window, but that window didn't have light at the time. But I said, one day, someone will be pleasantly surprised by this Hello Kitty prism. May not have been, by the way, if you work for Hello Kitty Enterprises or whatever, may not have been an actual Hello Kitty. It may have been a Hello Kitty, a high kitten, you know what I'm saying? Not a high kitten. You listeners that are listening at 4:20 p.m., not a high kitten. But it could have been, a howdy cat or something. It didn't have a cowboy hat on. But you know what I mean? It wasn't, the packaging was very clinical, like a clinical finial packaging. You know, if you've ever gone to the official finial shop, I don't even know if that's actually what they're called. Lamp toppers, I guess maybe you went to those lamp stores are still around, right? But, yeah, so that's what my life's like. If you ever thought, like, I'm faking it on this podcast, I mean, I am putting my best foot forward and my calmest foot forward on the podcast. But if you ever wondered, is he really like this in real life? There was 2 weeks ago, I was holding that unofficial it wasn't fan made though, Hello Kitty finial, prism finial, and talking to it, and it did a little dance. I mean, it didn't dance for me. I had it dancing, and then I got into that strange thing. This is why I can't sleep. I said, put it on the lamp. No, better not put it on the lamp. Put it on the lamp, take it off the lamp, put it on the lamp, let's turn the lamp on. And then I was like, what is it? Is this thing supposed to give a disco effect or a prism effect? And then I said, put it in the window. And then I got distracted by something else. Like, I said, is my coffee ready? Or whatever it was. So anyway, that's Sleep With Me. I think I missed, structure of the show. I forgot about that. So let me tell you about the structure of the podcast really quick. Show starts off with a greeting. Friends of Beyond the Binary, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, can you believe people don't like me? I mean, Or that this show is just for people that's four, which is great because that's a big number of people. They said, I mean, I trust, I've learned from these listeners that are so kind for me, listeners like you that said, I would have done that too. Or, hey, I found this. So this is a strange relatability. Our quirks are not something to hide in a closet, or whatever that tool shed, they're meant to be come out and you put it out and you see, you play with it. And then other people can say, yeah, I would have done that too. I would be baffled. I would have petted the kitty too with just my index finger and said, sorry, you've been in this tool shed and did you have any adventures in there? Or is this going to be your first? Oh, I forgot all about you. And now you're just sitting in a window. I mean, at least the kitty, oh, your back's to the window too. Sorry about that. Hi kitty. Or hi kitten, Vanille. Is that what they're called? I mean, if you know what it's how to spell it, it's like, I mean, I have dyslexia, but it's like, what word is that? I mean, I think there's like 17 letters in it. Okay, so structure of the show. Starts off with a greeting, friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. So you can feel seen and welcomed, and you say, I might check that podcast out, or I'll give it a try. Then there's support, so the show is free. There's a lot of people that just aren't in a position to support the show. So just having a subscriber-only thing wouldn't benefit the most people it can, the people that the podcast is actually going to help. And then the people that actually get to help the show get to feel really good because the show puts them to sleep and a bunch of other people to sleep. Then there's a intro, which we're just on the tail end of, kitty cats out there. Wiggle those whiskers with delight, but... we're just on the tail end of it, but the intro is a show within a show. Sometimes people that don't like the idea that the show needs support, or they just don't like the podcast, but there's actually people that are regular listeners that feel this way. They say, oh, the first 30 minutes of the podcast just ads or something. But no, the majority of it is this intro, which where we go on weird tangents. I mean, who would have thought? I never thought. I'm not kidding. When I was playing with the hello, this is where, you know, I can't even believe I'm putting this out there, but it's the truth. I never thought that that would come up on the podcast again when I was playing with the Hello Kitty Prism. Like, I wasn't like, this is podcast gold. Now I've struck gold twice. Now there's a country song. I struck gold. I mean, maybe Fish could put it in there, but, I struck gold twice with this Hello Kitty crystal, but maybe made of plastic, not official Hello Kitty prism, but maybe it's not a prism because I couldn't get it to work thing in my dad's tool shed. What was I saying, though? The intro goes on and on and on. So we discover stuff like this, but it also eases you into bedtime. The intro does put some people to sleep. And there are 2% of people that skip the intro, but for most listeners, the intro is part of the like slow descent to sleep. It eases you. It takes me about an hour of bedtime routine to get to bed. And maybe that's not the case for everybody else, but you know, I do a bunch of different stuff. I mean, the intro is only 20 minutes, so it can be part of your wind down, getting ready for bed or in bed, getting comfortable routine. Or if you don't like the intro, you could just skip it and set the show to start at 20 or 30 minutes. Or on our subscriber platforms, you could listen to story-only episodes or intro-only episodes. So then there's support. And then there'll be a bedtime story. Tonight will be based on a silent film or more than one silent film. I don't know how it's going to go yet. I mean, I have one in mind that I've watched, but I think we could still, I don't know, it's only like 27 minutes. So I'm like, is that going to make 50 minutes of material or not? We'll see. And then there's thank yous at the end. So it's a structure show. It's why I make the show. I'm really glad you're here. I work really hard. I yearn and I strive. And I really hope I can help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we're able to do this for you for free twice a week. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claritin, tonight's sponsor, for supporting this episode and provide me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. All right, buddy. Scoots here. This is our third Buster Keaton episode I'm recording. I think this will come out as the third episode. It is a seasonal episode, though. And but I did want to say also that it's extremely high concept. I'm not going to read the high concept, but when people talk about high concept, sometimes that's a word you hear people say, like high concept comedy or high concept idea. This one is incredibly, to me, high concept. And I don't know where the definition came from. I'm sure Rusty Biscuits looking it up and we'll put it in the notes for the show. But high concept is like, Sleep With Me usually has high concepts, which I guess you'd say, what does high concept mean? Could you explain it to me? And I would say, I'm laughing because I'd say, well, initially it sounded like, did you come up with that concept when you were high? You must have been high when you came up with that concept. I mean, that's not actually what it means, but it's technically, if you say, can you explain it to me like I'm, well, I guess a five-year-old wouldn't know. Yeah, like explain it to me like I'm five. But if you say, explain it to me like I'm an adult with, or like, and I have the maturity of a five-year-old, you'd say, well, it's a concept, an idea that sounds like somebody was high when they came up with it. Hardy har har. But you, like, so, like I say, Sleep With Me usually has high concept ideas. That doesn't mean grand concept. So that's what I mean. When you say, were you high when you came up with that? I was not. And when any of these ideas for Sleep With Me. The idea of Big Farm in the Sky, PI, is someone is in the big farm and they want to be a PI. And then they go back into the regular earthbound world and get help from their niece and their niece's best friend. You'd say, sounds like you were high when you came up with that concept. That's kind of a high concept. So this one, I won't read the concept because it's out there, but it is seasonal. It's called, it has other different titles, but the title I'm going with, it's A House of Trick-or-Treating. So I'm going to start it here. I think it's about 20 minutes long. So we'll see if we've supplemented or where we'll go. The House of Trick-or-Treating starts off. So it's Buster Keaton and the House of Trick-or-Treating. And I don't have the year it came out in. Buster Keaton and Eddie Klein, written and directed. And it starts off, and this one, the version I'm looking at has plenty of film grain. And it starts off with a card that says Wall Street. Here we go, alliteration. The palatial parking place of the bull and the bear, mostly the bull. So let's just, since I already paused it, let's see if there's a Wikipedia page for it without getting into the, it's 1921. I wanted to look some facts. Looks like at some point there's a theatrical poster where it looks like it was colorized. It's 21 minute. It's a two reel silent comedy film. Let's look up two reel silent comedy. Oh, that's comedy film. Two reel. A short film is any motion picture where it's running time. Let's see if it refers to reels in here. History. All films at the beginning of cinema, this is from Wikipedia, were very short, sometimes running only a minute or less. It took till 1910s when they got longer than 10 minutes. There were some early films went through the kinetoscope. Comedy films were produced in large numbers compared to lengthy features. And by the 1920s, where we're at, purchased a variety, varied program, including a feature and several reporting works from categories, such as a second feature, short comedy, and 4 to 11 minute cartoon, travelogue, and newsreel. Short comedies were especially common, or serials or series. Animated cartoons, then in the 30s, which we're not in the 30s, so it's two reels, so I guess each reel was about 10 minutes. It was written by Edward F. Klein, who we haven't looked up, screenwriter, actor, writer, best known for work with W.C. Fields and Buster Keaton from Kenosha, Wisconsin, and... Well, Klein also relatable life, interesting. Him and Keaton both struggled with things I struggled with. Klein began working for Keystone Studios in 1914, supported Charlie Chaplin in some shorts. Then Buster Keaton started making his own shorts after working with Roscoe Arbuckle. Hired Klein as his co-director, and they were gag men. And Klein is credited with originating Keaton's personal favorite gag from his films, where, I don't know, it's in a different movie, so I don't know if we'll cover it. And then Klein in the 30s started working with Fields. And goes on and on and on, but I just wanted to look that up. Okay, back to the House of Trick-or-Treating. Okay, Buster Keaton, Virginia Fox, Joe Keaton, Joe Roberts, and Edward Klein are the stars. Came out in February of 1921. Silent, has inner titles. We don't need to get into the plot. Plot is very timeless, too, as we'll see, especially in film. Legacy. This belongs to a more simplistic era of comedic storytelling. It doesn't work really today, except for in a sleep podcast, by the way, but it has a certain amount of naive charm. Except for the past two decades, this has been a staple of a genre of storytelling, like part of the high concept, or maybe all of it. So I don't know. I mean, I definitely recognize it from like some animated stuff. But yeah, I think that's it. So for now, okay. So we open with the palatial parking palace place, the bull and the bear, mostly the bull. That's Wall Street. And we're going to have to pause it again, 'cause there's something coming up that I have to look up. Okay. So first we see, like a raised wide shot, and we zoom down on what we can presume is Wall Street. There's people, there's cars. It's 1920. It's definitely bustling. New York is not the only town that has a mastermind of finance. Okay, then we do one of those things where fades, where it's like a circle and the circle grows, and we see, I guess what you could consider a limousine pulling up, and there's not just a limousine, but there's a person there's someone driving and there's someone opening the door. So it's two separate jobs. And then who falls out of the limousine, which I did not expect. I thought it was going to be the, the heavy or whatever, but it's Buster Keaton, hat in hand. He's got a walking stick, and he goes to, First National. Oh, good. This has some, you watching on different sites. So it does have, I'm able to jump back. And I don't understand this. So this is only 45 seconds into the movie here. Well, that's when he falls out of the car. He tries to hide his embarrassment. So at 50 seconds, he walks up to a bank, First National, which I think a popular name. It's open from 9 a.m. till 3 p.m., according to the sign on the door. But there's a lock on the door that has a bottle cap over it, which I don't understand. Wait, here's more about the Mark Hamilton is also uncredited in this movie. Not Mark Hamill, but Mark Hamilton. Okay, so bottle cap. Door lock. I don't think this is going to work out. No, this is a bottle lock. So I don't know. It seems to be so over the lock and the door to the bank is a like a bottle cap, like you'd have in a beer or a bottle of soda. Now, I guess this makes sense as far as like what if he knows no one else is going to have a bottle crimper. A bottle capper. So he first has to pop the bottle top on the door and then uses his key to unlock the door. He also has gloves in his hands. So he's wearing gloves. He goes in to the bank. And now this is an old school bank. And obviously it's a set from a movie, but and he's got a decent amount of keys and a bottle capper. He does not, he just shuts the door behind himself. He goes into the bank. And it does look like a bank from movies. So like there's a stand-up place where you can fill out your deposit slips. And I realize, and this is going to be funny to some people, there's probably a lot of people listening right now that haven't been in a bank. And to be honest, I have no idea the last time I was in a bank. Oh, no, I do. So last time I was in a bank it was Buster Keaton-esque, because most of the time when I go in a bank, there's like multiple things being spilled and dropped. And this was not that dissimilar. And now banks are more, at least the bank I went to, which is credit union technically. I went into the branch. First of all, I get to get through a couple doors, which is hard enough for me. And then I have, like, I'll be honest, like I don't use my bank like in person. And I don't really use a lot of cash. So I'm very unfamiliar with a number, and I'm I have dyslexia. So I said, please let this card just get me everything. I have my ID and my card. So because I have no idea my account number or any of those things. And also I did need to withdraw money in certain denominations. And the reason I needed to do that was because I was doing this thing. I don't know if I talked about it on the show. It was an idea. Did not pan out. But I went on vacation with family members to a theme park a while ago. But, you know, whatever, like early in the year. So a while ago for me when I'm recording this. And I had this memory of like getting cash when we would go to a theme park, and I was old enough to explore my own and be like, well, here's your money for your lunch and dinner. So that's how much money you get. And, you know, you could spend it however you want, but don't, you know, like this is your money to spend for the day to feed yourself. And there's something magical about having that control, I thought, as a kid. So I thought I would do that for kids and adults, but with an assignment. So that's one thing. People don't like assignments on vacation. So I was like, okay, one day, each day I'm going to give everybody in the group a different amount of cash. And everybody at the night will report back at how they spent their cash. We didn't have a formal reporting back time. And then it was also hard because everybody has a different amount of like wanting to be participating in the production of giving the answers. And, you know, I have my producer brain. So it's like, whoa, you only get 2 minutes each. Like I didn't actually establish those parameters. So, So it could have used more prep, but it didn't work out. But I needed like singles, quarters, fives, and tens. I think that was like the different, most of them were like $3, $5, maybe $7, maybe $1 or $2 in quarters that I was giving out. So that's why I was in the bank the last time. So anyway, Buster Keaton goes into the bank, goes through a teller window because he's obviously there to work. He has the keys, right? Then he goes up to the, what is that thing called? The safe. And it's a big, you know, giant safe or whatever, a vault. I guess it's a vault. I can't read the sign on it right now. Oh, no, it says time. It's not in totally can't get into this. It's got a time lock. And then he hangs his walking stick with the hook up and then hangs his hat on the hook next to the thing. Okay, so that's interesting as far as like a storytelling thing. Because we see the safe and we see or the vault and then we see the sign on the vault, which gives us information, but then he moves on. And then there's a wipe to two other characters in a building, one of whom is very tall and he's all like suited and has a mustache. I don't know if back then they put mustaches only on people you're supposed to not identify with. Maybe this leads us back to like why you couldn't work at a theme park if you had a mustache. Silent, because what's his name was born in the silent film era. All those like, it's just interesting. See, did you watch too many Buster Keaton movies? Is that why I can't have a beard at my job? So these two also have canes or walking sticks, which is interesting only because of when I'm recording this. I think this is maybe a fashion thing, and then maybe this is too far afield, but I've recently, like, so I got, like, I go running or hiking. I go trail running, but I'm not actually running. I'm jogging, so I'm not trying to brag because you'd say a turtle would literally blow by me if I was trail running. And I did also do it like hiking one time when it was really hot. And I said, I think I just did the same pace hiking as I did running, which is fine because I enjoy it and I get a lot out of it. But so I recently, a lot of it I do in the hills, at different hills in the Bay Area, at the parks. And, you know, I say like I'm a bit clumsy. There's a lot of hills. I'm not always paying the best attention in. You know, time is passing in my life, and I really enjoy this. So I looked into it, and apparently in Europe, all our European listeners that enjoy hiking and trail running, particularly trail running, which is a little bit different than hiking, but in Europe, a lot of trail runners use poles, which a lot of hikers use a pole in the U.S. or poles, similar to ski poles, just in case you're not familiar. And I made the decision recently for my own, like, well-being and enjoyment, and also maybe get a little bit extra arm exercises and be easier on my legs to start using poles when I run. And part of me is like, that's so embarrassing, Dad. Like, just my internal teen. But another part of me is like, it's like a new gadget, even though they're only poles. It's like, man, I'm out here with my poles. Check me out. Like, I feel fresh, but we'll see. I mean, I definitely have used them, and I say this does make a going downhill makes a big difference as far as stability, and I haven't quite got used to them. I mean, I've got, like, get used to them going uphill where I'm, like, feeling like it's changed my relationship with the speed or the time or the, because, anyway, so I'm still getting used to it, so it's a little bit more tiring until I get used to it, but I'm looking forward to it. So I don't know, just their canes and their walking sticks. Cause now we're at three people walking with walking stick canes. That sticks out to me, right? Okay. Actually, no, I'm wrong. So there's two people walking and they're walking in sync. Like, the person with the mustache, somebody was walking behind him. I thought I saw two canes. There's only one. So then the other person who's a little bit, they're talking. So the person in front with the mustache says, hey, the bank cashier is working with people making copies of money, and they want everybody to believe this house is only for the trick part of trick-or-treating, where you pay and you go through a house and you're tricked with gentle, fun surprises. So again, another story point, even though it's interesting because it says the bank cashier, who I'm assuming is Buster Keaton. I could be wrong, though, but he's saying that because, I mean, I guess I just going into it with a Buster Keaton assumption, which will make an ass out of Buster Keaton and me, that Buster Keaton's not playing like a heavy or whatever you want to call it. So then they kind of talk. The guy smoke, the taller guy smoking, they got the mustache. And he's very deliberate. You see, this they got this stuff here. And the other guy's like, really, boss? Really? Then they're in another room. They do a fade into another room. And he goes, I'll show you what would happen if authority figures showed up and said, do you have, you know, are you fully permitted for a house of trick-or-treating or not? And are you making photocopies of money somewhere? And there's a device. The first device we see is actually like a fantasy thing, I'm assuming, where a bunch of authority figures come in. And I said, holy Kevin McAllister, because they run up the stairs in two groups. There's one, two, three, four. They say, come on. And he says, here, see this device? It makes the stairs pull a Kevin McAllister. And then everybody slides down the stairs. And the other guy has his arms crossed. Tell me again, boss. Tell me again. Okay, so there you go. Four up the stairs. They call, hey, all our buddies, come on up the stairs. Five or six more. And they all slide down into a pile together. And then they run out. I say, who hired you, by the way? Oh, my gosh. So really good one, Ed. Got another. What famous person does this the sidekick look like? Because he goes, this is at like, what is this, 1 minute after all the authority figures slide down the stairs, 144. The person is listening as his boss tells him all about it. And he says, oh boy, he looks like someone. Not sure exactly who. Then they go back. They're having an in-depth discussion about this, you know, they're plotting, I guess. So much so that at least when it's paused, the assistant person who has a very long coat on, his hands are tightly clasped. We're going to get him. Then we see the, who can we call this character? Straw Hat McGee come out of the house. He's strutting then. He's carrying his cane. Oh, by the way, if you ever want to visit this house, it's 26 somewhere on a street, 2619. 2619 on somewhere street. He goes out, opens the gate. The house has a nice gate. He twirled his mustache twice, both sides. This is Sleep With Me's first mustache twirling, I believe. First at 152, he touches his mustache. And then he walks out of the house. There's palm trees, so kind of a giveaway that this is L.A. maybe. And then, yeah, at 2 minutes exact, they said at 2 minutes exactly, we need you know the story's going well if you got mustache twirling at 2 minutes, within the first 2 minutes of the film. Okay, then another. Buster Keaton is now, the work days commence because he has a flower on his lapel. His hair is looking good and he's like doing his job as the clerk. But what we've seen is vehicle of these Buster Keaton movies is that failed romance and his ability to he's like a romantic foil. So he's like looking at the deposit slip, I guess, or it's a withdrawal slip. Okay, well, this is interesting. She must be early at the bank. The bank's not open because she says, yeah, I got to get the money out. And he says the bank doesn't open till nine, or the time lock doesn't open till 9 o'clock. I said, bro, like, why are you working? If the bank's not open, why are you working anyway? It's 6, 7. It's 8 o'clock. I don't know what this guy's doing. The bank's not open yet. Or it's 8 p.m. and the bank has been closed for 5 hours. And she does this move very, what do you call that? Well, anybody that knows who Sting is, this is just another trope, an assumption. So I'm just using Sting as an imaginary object of assumption. But there was a time where Sting was associated with a form of romance called some sort of transcendent romance. I know I'm misquoting a lot of stuff, but I think that transcendent romance between two partners involved being in one another's close vicinity without contact. And this one is really done well. I mean, I'm not kidding. My back started sweating because she leans in to his face close and looks him in the eye, like with a serious look, and then leans in a little bit closer, like she's going to kiss him, but just close enough that you could detect the other person's, and he's like, are we about to kiss? This is at 2 minutes and 20 seconds. And then he says, whoa, boy, I'm getting woozy here. Then she signs her withdrawal slip. And then we see, oh boy, is this time lock totally foolproof? Because he stands up on a table or something, which is wobbly, opens the glass of the clock, and moves it ahead an hour. And then we get a comedic sequence where it's spring loaded, so it opens. And she was withdrawing a full stack, which I don't even know how much a full stack is or what the stack was. Also, I don't know, in 1921, those are some Dorothy Castle. I missed that part. The bills look a bit more rectangular than the ones we use today. And because I went to school here in the U.S., was money different in the 1920s? It looks like double size. So she signs her deposit slip. I don't know how much she took out. Dorothy Castle or Grace. I can't read her handwriting. Dorothy something. G or C-A-S-S-I-L. So she's making an A-S-S-I-L out of somebody. Maybe. I don't know. Then she says, Maine 234. Be like, dude, that's the fakest number. You know, I've gotten that as a phone number before. So what's your phone? Would you want to continue this conversation? Sure. Call me. Area code 456. Oh, okay, great. I'll talk to you then. So, but she's right in her instincts because I think, this is a fireable thing. He says, Maine 234, eh? So he's a bit of a, maybe he needs to have his little comeuppance. Okay, then we get you say, when are we getting to the trick-or-treating, Scoots? And I say, we're only 3 minutes in. Hopefully, we're almost like 30 minutes in the show. But it says, we get another title card. Although it's a small bank, it has a president. And although he's small in stature, he has a daughter? I don't know what that's supposed to mean. And or maybe it means small in emotional stature. We see his daughter leave. She's dressed really fancy. And then the mustache twirler literally comes in. Then we have, his daughter's not a child though. So she goes up to him while he's he has more money. I don't know if, and she strikes a little bit of a Catherine O'Hara, comedic thing. Then we go back into the president of the bank's office. He's examining, money and the mustache twirler's watching him. And he's like, oh, boss, what is it? Wonder who put this fake money in here. Maybe we should talk to the authority figures. And the boss says, or maybe the boss said that. Oh, wait a second. I missed this. The boss says that because then he gets on the phone. And I think the mustache twirler grabs it. Let's see. He grabs some other money, actually. Huh. Or maybe more fake money. So this bank definitely needs to fire some people. I don't even know if this guy, the mustache twirler, works at the bank. Also strange, he has his jacket buttoned, but only the bottom button of his jacket. So it's a three-button jacket. The top two buttons are undone. Okay, now four people come into the bank, four gentlemen. They're in a row. I can't tell if they're together or not. They're making some sort of withdrawal, and including change, and he's counting it out. He's using his, like, he puts his hand in ink, glue. He thought he was putting it in, so now we're going to get some physical comedy. He was trying to put his finger in the wet stuff to help you count money, but then he put it in glue. So now he does this kind of sequence where everything's sticking to his hands, which has been done a lot before. And then we get, he's handing out the money, which is sticking to people, and they can't throw it off their hands. I don't know why these, like, so a group of four people, it gets worse and worse and worse, though. So it's kind of funny. And say, okay, wait, are you like, dude, you can't work here anymore. I mean, seriously, like, why do you have glue at your workstation? Like, no glue in the bank. I mean, it's paper. We got paper money in here. But it's pretty funny and a pretty standard thing, including stuck to a shoe, ripping money. Oh, boy. And it's good with his face because his face doesn't react. But it does have some quiet desperation to it. And then we see money, I mean, glue money everywhere. And on all the four people, him, everybody's, they're doing like an NSYNC. Yeah, this is like a TikTok dance at, time is that at, like the four patrons are literally like, it's like, I see this barely even on Instagram Reels, and they said, don't touch it because then the music will blare. But this one, you know, it would just be the music, but yeah, four customers, it's just one of those, it's just getting worse and worse and worse. Yeah, what time is that at? I can't pause at 5:24. Then he puts his hand on his hair to think, I can't believe I glued everything. Then strangely enough, the mustache twirler comes and gives them some other money, and then they leave. And he tells somebody else that works at the bank that has a visor, one of those metal visors. He says, clean up all this ripped up money. Get to it. And that person's also in a suit. So then we get a sequence with him trying to clean up the money. His hair's out of place. Buster Keaton's trying to cut his own hair because his hands are caught in the hair. He successfully does that, actually. This other guy looks, he has hair like me and, what's his name from, why can't I think of his name, but, it looks a little bit like Laurel, Stan, or Laurel Hardy. I don't know. I don't think it is, but so then, Keaton has hot tea water. He's trying to steam the money off him. And they says, what do you want from me? He says, okay, I'll get you steam. I'll steam you free, man. You just take a nap. And he does almost steam him free. No, he does. And then he says, wake up. And the guy shakes his hand, but then they get the money glued together. So pretty long sequence. Okay. Then we get it's still going. So then he bows to somebody else. And then I think they're going to get stuck together. So they get their butts stuck together. A new character with a pipe and a bowler hat who's grouch, clearly. And then they're trying to extricate themselves. The bank is like a big mess now. And Keaton's trying to extricate his hands from the money. then the one customer says, our butts are stuck together. Also, there's money, ripped money everywhere in this bank. And Keaton tries to cut the rear ends apart, revealing one of the, you know, one of the shots for children, you know, grown men's underpants, seen through a hole in their bottom. So I guess, that would have been funny back even then, for adults. And then a woman, she can't believe she's seeing his underpants, through a hole in his rear end. So she says, I can't believe I'm seeing your underpants. So then he's ashamed and he's trying to cover his butt. Okay, now we see a quick shot of the mustache twirler and the four men that were in the bank earlier outside of the bank having a conference, but it's just a quick shot. We get more of this comedic sequence of Keaton trying to, oh, now he's almost about to cry, I think. Now this is a good one. I mean, it's a little bit more of like playing this up, but he puts his hands in his pockets and then his hands are glued in his pockets. Okay, then the four people that were outside the bank, including the sidekick from earlier, come in and I guess they say, they seem to be, they're like, actually, we're going to take all this money. And all the money and the things. Then they say, "Put, you know, raise your hands if you don't, shake your hands above your head like you just don't care." And Buster Keaton says, "They're stuck in my pocket." So they're trying to take the gluey money out of the bank. I can't believe this is still high concept when it's like, who is that person? So the sidekick, Buster Keaton's trying to get his pockets off his hands. He does that. And then one-ups the people trying to take, you know, make an unauthorized withdrawal, and they run out. But then he's holding everything. So then they think he's the one trying to make an unauthorized withdrawal. So he tries to go inside the, does he try to go in the vault to hide? Yeah, and then they go looking for him. And then it's 3 o'clock. So I think he closes the vault. His shirt's stuck in there. His jacket. He says, I can't go through a jacket. That night, this is the next title card. We're halfway through the movie, which is a good point. Like, it shows this cliffhanger. He's been accused. What's he going to do? But that night, the opera company was doing Faust. And he deserved it. So we get a title sequence. Then we see the play, Faust, playing out in a theater. And the opera, we see the three characters hand kissing. And the set's not properly constructed. So in the middle of the play, part of the set falls down, which has its own comedic sequence. A lot of trying to hold the setup. It's only made from cardboard, but the cardboard, you know, cardboard can't stand up even if it has stands. And the character that was supposed to befriend Faust, is very upset. Oh my goodness. So then, someone actually throws a cabbage from the audience at the character, you know, the character, red spandex based characters, at that character. He walks backwards into the, what's that called? The back painting or whatever, that falls down. So we see the back of the theater and it's a no smoking sign. And then everybody shares their produce with the three performers. So I guess it was just a three performer thing. And they leave the theater. Everybody wants a refund. So, this is interesting. So there you get your high concept. I mean, part of the high concept, everybody is chasing them for a refund. Then after searching everywhere, they found him where he was. That's the next title card. So they find him like, stuck to the vault. Then they're discussing what they're going to do. And then they try to get him, but then he runs away thinking, I don't know what he's thinking. And he runs off. We also see the three characters from Faust running off from the opera. And the sun's setting. And they run by a well. And we can't quite see. I think he runs into the house first. And they say, that's the house with tricks and no treats. So we see that. Then it's too dark to see anything. But I think he sees Buster Keaton goes into the house. Oh, and then he turns on the light. And he thought he saw something passing. Or we just see it as an audience. Then he opens up a gag book, which smokes. And we see someone running through the house in a costume. And I think she's in a costume from Faust, but now it looks like a costume where she's trick-or-treating. And Buster Keaton's character says, I have no treats, and I don't want to be tricked. And she says, I must trick you. He runs up the stairs, then slides down the stairs. Oh, no, she was not from Faust. Then the two of the characters from Faust run in. And Keaton says, that's strange. She was sitting on the floor. And then the person from the red spandex runs in. Then Keaton says, well, this is confusing. So he tries to spy on the room they ran into. He looks around the curtains. Then he tries to go in the opposite direction. Goes into another room. Hears something. And then he picks up a vase. But the authority figures are still trying to get him. Then he runs back up the stairs, jumps before they slide him. Then we see another room with the lights out. I can't really make out what's happening. There does seem to be something moving in there. Maybe one of the Faustians, you know, or the opera. And then he turns on the light. Now he has a candlestick. Two of the characters from Faust run into one room. Keaton's walking down the hall, kind of pretending like he's minding his own business. Almost forgets about the stairs. Then tests them out. And then he says, then he sits down on his rear end and tries to slide down the stairs like for fun. They don't start sliding. So he walks down the stairs, then slides down them. So the stairs are kind of taunting him. Then we see the mustache twirler who's being followed by the bank. Okay, so there's even more layers to this. Okay, so mustache twirler is being followed by the banker's daughter, I believe. He sneaks into the basement of this house of no trick-or-treating where his team is making fake money and pretending to be trick-or-treaters. And they say, by the way, that dude's upstairs from the bank, the cashier. He sends two trick-or-treaters up there. He says, ask him for tricks and not treats. Then the daughter, goes down in something that ends up in the basement. And he finds her, the mustache twirler, twirls his mustache and says, oh, you're the banker's daughter. I mean, I just saw you and now we'll keep you company. Then Buster Keaton runs into the red spandex character who, kind of just stares him down. Looks a little bit like Carrie Hughes from Princess Bride. And they literally have a staring contest. Buster Keaton has no idea this guy's just an actor and that he's real. So he tries to touch him. And the guy says, I thought we were having a staring contest. And he goes, harumph. And he crosses his arms. And then he says, what's going on here? And Buster Keaton says, these stares, man, they're the worst. Then Buster Keaton's going on a tirade. He sees one of the trick-or-treaters, climbs up the balcony, then gets caught in curtains, still has glue on. Oh, no, it's a cape from the red spandex guy. Then he sees again another trick-or-treater. He does a great physical thing. That's about 1428. Then he sits in a chair. And, you know, we're sending our love to the next existence of Pee-wee, Paul Rubens. But there's a version, I'm not even kidding. This is not like 1447. There's a version of Cherry, the chair that hugs you with love. And it says, I'm Cherry, pull yourself up a chair. Then there's more trick-or-treaters. And Buster Keaton decides to follow them. And they start putting together an animatronic. This is not a joke. So two trick-or-treaters are putting together an animatronic. And it's an amazing effect because, wow, that is cool. So talk about high-end effects for me. And the animatronic then says, I got no strings to pull me down. Buster Keaton says, I can't believe this. Then he sees the Faustian actors. They say, dude, come with me. He says, please don't make me sit through a whole performance of Faust. I don't have any lettuce. And he says, listen, we're just here. We're in the same boat as you, man. Then they see the two trick-or-treaters who say, we'll take your wife trick-or-treating. Then there's, man, this is, wow, there's so many quick things. Then there's a person that says, I'm from that movie Sleepy Hollow, but I'm walking. Hold on to this for me. Then there's another version of Cherry, but it's a blanket, and says, I'm Blanky. I'm going to surprise you for trick-or-treating. And Buster Keaton says, no, you got to be kidding me. Runs off again, slides down the stairs. Kevin McAllister then runs up the stairs, is surprised again. Can't get up them. Then sees somebody else. Says, hey, I'm a cat person. Then he goes in another room, like Socrates. Someone dressed as Socrates is in there. And then he does a running in place gag while Socrates holds onto his shirt coat. And Socrates says, I'm just going to like talk to you about stuff for a while. Buster Keaton keeps running in place. We see that the floor. Then he says, like he literally says, smell my breath. Then the actor that looks like Cary Hughes does some dancing. He sees a trick-or-treater. He leaves the house, but he's smoking. He's like got a fog machine. So he comes out. All the authority figures say there's a smoking person in red spandex. Then Buster Keaton sees two of the trick-or-treaters enjoying a snack. He says, oh, they found treats, so I don't have to worry. So now he knows all the trick-or-treaters already have treats. So he ignores them as they go through the house. Then he blows a whistle. We don't hear it, obviously, and holds his arms up to get them to stop, kind of like, because they keep walking through the halls. Then somebody says, they run downstairs and they say, hey, boss, there's like actually somebody in here, maybe from another world. Buster Keaton puts his head through the banister. Big mistake. Don't ever do that. But he gets out. Another stair gag. He's at the top of the stairs, pauses again, and then slides down the banister. Of course, that impacts his rear end. He gets off and still has to slide down the stairs again. Then he sees another trick-or-treater. Says, I think I'll surprise that trick-or-treater. Goes to surprise them. And then he says, I'm going to dress up like a trick-or-treater. Then the authority figures come in. They fall downstairs. And then we realize now they're the mustache twirler says, well, the authority figures are here. You won't be doing any trick-or-treating now, see? But then Buster Keaton reveals that Buster Keaton was, so then we get our quick resolution, Deus Ex Machina, in some sense, costuma. So somehow we missed the part where he went downstairs in his costume, but he had figured out what was happening. Goes downstairs, helps the authority figures, catch the mustache twirler. Bank president's daughter, who she says, literally my hero. Oh, wait a second. But then, well, this is interesting. But the thing was that, so I guess we get one more wraparound. There's only a minute left. But before he leaves, the mustache twirler says, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, take a nap to Buster Keaton. So he takes a nap. So then he wakes up. He's in a dream world where two children, he's dressed as a some sort of Grecian, like he's going to a toga party. Then there's two little girls dressed as angels. And he puts his hat on and they say one final gag for the love of, oh yeah, it is. So then he starts going up the stairs, maybe. He's literally climbing a stairway to heaven, but possibly for a gag. And it's a long stairway. So it goes up one sequence away from the angel girls into another sequence where it's against the clouds in the sky. And there's angels with like pan flutes on either side. Then he goes up again and whole nother screen, another set of angels, and then a doorway. Climbing stairway to heaven. I don't know what other parts of the song, but he gets to the top. And there's someone at the top. I think that's supposed to be St. Peter, maybe? Buster Keaton, now he looks like he's in a bath. Like, I don't know, like more like, I guess it's not a toga anymore. He has his like cap on. He hands something to St. Peter. St. Peter says, not a chance, man. Then he pulls the thing down and the stairs become a slide, and it's a super slide. And oh boy, then it becomes a swirly slide, a corkscrew slide. And this is a great gimmick, actually. And this is like what I wrote about one time in a poem. He said mine was an elevator, but so he keeps going through the earth all the way to under earth, meets the actual person in red spandex who says today bulletin, and it says Keaton, and it goes from out to in. They move a slider so that Buster Keaton has arrived, and he says, come over here. And then another assistant says, get over there. But then he wakes up in the arms of the president of the bank's adult daughter, who says, thank goodness, and then it goes to the end. So very packed with action towards the end. Probably the main thing I would have changed is like a little bit less of the stair gags and like shorten the money gag around just to stretch out the end a little. I mean, for a sleep podcast, I stretch the whole thing out and put 30 extra minutes on a 20-minute short. But that was just to put you to sleep in a dreamy world where movies, this one particularly had no sound, even on the version I had, it had no music even. So the silent rambling, the silent film made into rambles. Good night, everybody. All right, I want to thank everybody who became a patron recently. I want to thank Kelly, Bishop, and Marco. Thanks, and good night. Nick, Lauren, and Claire. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Chris, Evelyn, and Krista. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Matthew, Robin, and Katie. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Claudette, Tim, and Robin. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Daniel, Katie, and Carolyn, thank you, thanks, and good night. Holly, Ann, and Dee, thank you, thanks, and good night. Garrett, Hayden, and Annalise, thank you, thanks, and good night. Will, Tatiana, and Jordan, thank you, thanks, and good night. And Jonathan, Heather, and Uliana, thank you, thanks, and good night. Thanks, and good night, everybody who supports the show directly through subscriptions, wherever you subscribe and pay for a free podcast, you're a rebel with a cause. Wild, wild behavior, paying for something to get value out of. And, of course, you get that sweet, sweet bonus content. What else? There's people that support the sponsors and spread the word about the sponsors, but there's a lot of people, free people who listen to the free show who are in a position to support the sponsors or support them. So not only do they benefit from the people that support the sponsors, support the show directly, but those people choose to spread the word about the show and let people know about the show, you know, answer Q&As or whatever it is, participate online in the show's community, or let people know about the podcast in the communities that are a part of, or say, hey, this is my favorite episode of Sleep With Me, or this is the app I listen to Sleep With Me in. And that's a gigantic way to help the podcast out too. So I appreciate that. And, you know, that's it. Thanks. Thanks and good night, everybody. Scoots may be coming up here with a Tuck You In sponsor or asking for something. And that's really how we got to the point where now we have 600 ad-supported shows ready to go. So you can pick and choose what works best for you. Thanks and good night. All right, everybody. This is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on... in the public feed too. Now I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only. And then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, and whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from. On Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and... that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't, like, automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do three seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. That's cool. That's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode one of that. That was the one we did originally. Then 1252 was the finale of the Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 1250, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me. And most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because I put it at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.